Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
Good morning, everyone. You are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell, and this is Dr. Patricia Bay here at KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today, we are going to be talking about coronavirus fears. And I don't want to give you information that you're getting off of the news channels and things like that. I want to talk about what I'm seeing in clients of mine and what medical professional friends of mine are seeing in their offices, and help you take a good hard look at how you're feeling about this whole coronavirus challenge. That's kind of what I call it in my head. It's challenging on everybody. So let's look at what's happening with just coronavirus, all the hoopla and the fears and the cautions and everything. And so people are running a gamut. That is what I see in my office, or with clients now that I'm doing phone sessions with. They're running a gamut from, this is overblown and it's not anything to worry about and I'm not afraid. I hear that a lot from people. I'm not afraid. Then I hear people saying, well, we need to cooperate and we need to social distance and we need to do what they're asking us to do. And then there's the people that are more anxious and fearful and saying, the sky is falling, basically. So look at the coronavirus fears as a spectrum, from all the way from denial of nothing's happening, this is nothing to worry about, to severe anxiety and fear that you're going to die or your loved one is going to die. And stop for a minute and say, where do I fall on that spectrum of coronavirus fears? Am I worried? Am I pragmatic? Am I following directions? Am I basically flipping off the authorities and saying, no, I'm not going to follow directions? What are you doing? So where do you fall? But let's take a look at the fears that I'm seeing in people and that other therapist friends and other medical professional friends are talking to me about. And at some point during this show, we've got two callers that I know are going to call in, because one is a small business owner who's going to call and talk with us, and the other is Dr. Richard Malachi, medical doctor, who's going to give us his impression of what he's seen in his practice. So we're going to have them in the second and third sections of the show. But what I'm seeing is that the fears fall into basically three kind of areas. The first one is health. People are worried about their own health. They're worried about becoming disabled. They're worried about, if I got this coronavirus, would I get a mild little case and not even know I had it? Or would I get so ill that I couldn't breathe and I'd be trying to show up at an emergency room? So the run the gamut of those fears, too. How healthy are you? Do you have any secondary medical issues, diabetes, heart issues, COPD, lung problems, bronchitis, asthma, things that could compromise your health even more if you were to get this virus? Those people are concerned, and rightly so. They need to do the best they can to distance and not get exposed to the virus, and they need to do what they can do to keep hydrated and sleep and give themselves the best chance to recover from the virus if they get it. But what I'm seeing is people are worried twofold. They're worried about themselves, and then they're very worried about loved ones. And I can speak to that. I, having lost my husband, Rich, 4.5 years ago, it makes me frightened to lose anyone else in my family. When you've experienced profound loss and grief, you know how painful it is, and you don't want to experience that again. Not that anybody wants to experience, but there's a fear base in that that says, oh my gosh, what if I lost one of my kids or my grandkids, or the people that I love the most in this world? So that's a fear that has nothing to do with coronavirus, but the coronavirus challenges poke that in me. So I can imagine that it pokes that in other people too when you're concerned about losing somebody that you love. So think of it as twofold for health. There's worried about self, and then there's worried about other people in your life that you care about. So if you have an elderly parent or you've got a child with secondary medical issues, you start to get a little more hyper aware that this coronavirus could affect them, and you're on guard. The next section that I see people worrying about is financial. And for some people, you can have 2 weeks off and it's not going to affect you. If you're retired, your income stream isn't going to change, most likely, unless some of your income stream is like from rental properties and your tenants lose their job or their small business goes under. And then they can't pay the rent, and then you can't pay the mortgage on your rental property. It can be a domino effect. So the financial strain and stress is concerning a lot of people. Those that live more paycheck to paycheck, or they have a small business that runs on a pretty tight financial budget, are worried when everything shuts down. So there's health worries for self and others. There's financial worries for self and others. And what I see these things play out as anxiety. This fear of what, oh my heavens, what are we going to do? And is the sky falling? And what's going to happen plays out as anxiety. People are nervous and wondering. And as a human population, we don't particularly like the unknown. And this coronavirus is full of the unknown. How long is this going to last? How deep is it going to go into our medical reserves and systems? What would happen if I got sick? What happens if I run out of toilet paper? Oh, my heavens. People are just anxious and nervous and worrying. And that's not good for our immune systems either. Dr. Malachi will talk to you in a little while about what he's seen in his practice, but he'll validate that he's seen a lot of anxiety in people. So more so than being sick, people are afraid that they're sick. Now look at the difference of that. Are you sick or are you afraid you're going to be sick? I mean, in the past, if you got a little runny nose or a sniffle or a slight cough, you kind of went, whatever. Right now, you cough once and you start going, oh my, is it coronavirus? It's scary and it makes people anxious. So I want you to stop and look at, where do I fall on that coronavirus spectrum of fear? Am I way down at this side, like you put your left hand out and go way out there to the left? Am I way out here saying, this is ridiculous, there's no real problem, nothing's really happening, this is all a made-up mess? Or are you way at the other end where you're very fearful and constantly thinking about, could you die or somebody else, or what's going to happen to you financially? So where do you fall on that spectrum? And it will vary. It depends on what we're talking about, too. Like, if you're okay financially and your income stream is going to be steady, you might not be stressing about that. You might even be saying, woohoo, 2 weeks of not having to go anywhere and do anything. Could be relaxing. Could be fun. You could get some closets cleaned out. Or are you saying, I have to cancel a surgery that I've been dealing with? I have one client that had her second eye surgery scheduled, and she was having some issues about having that done and was getting geared up to do that and was all ready to go. And the day before, it got canceled because it was considered an elective surgery. So now she's got to sit on that. And when will she have her second eye surgery done? They did one eye, and when will the second eye get done? So people have been short-circuited and delayed, and is creating havoc for businesses everywhere. So here's another piece of advice. Don't assume that something is canceled. You need to communicate with people. The hospitals reported that people that were supposed to have elective surgeries that were not canceled, people just didn't show up. And they were all set to go. They had the staff there. They had everything ready. And the person just didn't show up for the elective surgery because they assumed it was canceled. So don't assume anything. Communicate with people. Call and say, what do you want to do? If you can work from home, you can try and be accommodating. Let me give you an example. I take my granddaughter to singing lessons, and that music instructor, that's his income. So if all of a sudden everybody's not going and doing lessons, then that affects his income, which affects the people that he pays for things, and that income stream that rolls downhill from there. So I'm going to be very supportive of him doing his music lessons online, on Facebook, on FaceTime, and going to pay him for those lessons because we want to try and keep everything going as best we can. So that's one of the things we're going to talk about as we go into this show, of how we can support small business owners and not take the money away from them if we can help it. So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, I want to talk to Dr. Richard Malotki and have him tell us what he's seen and what advice he can give us for this anxiety. We'll be back in a minute.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. You're listening to the incredibly beautiful and soothing Native American music by Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist, award winner, amazing musician, amazing man. And you can go to Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, Pandora to listen to his music, or you can go to his website, randymcginnis.com. Dr. Richard Malotki's calling in. I think he's on the phone now. We're coordinating this, and he's going to talk to us about what he's seen in his medical practice with this coronavirus stuff, so specifically about how people are feeling and what he's doing to help them. So I'm looking for my producer to see if he's on the line. Is Richard there? No, he's not here yet. Okay, we're waiting for him to call in. We had a problem with the phone line for a minute, so he was having trouble connecting. So what we want to talk about is what is it that people are feeling, and what are they struggling with emotionally and physically? So, okay, we got Dr. Richard Malachy on the line. You there?
Yeah, hi, Dr. Patty. How are you doing?
Hey, Dr. Richard, how are you doing? I know you were listening to the first part of the show. I'm trying to get people to take a look at where they fall on the spectrum of fear with this coronavirus. Like you, I know you're seeing some people like this too that are basically saying this is nothing, there's nothing to be afraid of, this is all a hype, it's fake. And they're way down at that one end of the spectrum where they're saying ignore it. Then there's people at the other end that are doing the sky is falling and I'm going to die. They're super afraid. So what are you seeing in your office?
We're seeing the whole spectrum, you know, in the office. I'm still working because I'm supposed to be, believe it or not, someone who's essential.
So I think you're essential to this world.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm still working. And I got some test kits middle of last week. I got some test kits, didn't have any before that. And then we have specific criteria where public health department says the patient has to have, you know, X, Y, Z, and then you test them, and then they, so I ran two tests last week, and fortunately both were negative, and it was kind of comical because it was raining, and I went out in the parking lot. We don't let them in the waiting room. I went out in the parking lot with my gown and mask and gloves on and stuck this, you know, cotton swab 4 inches down their nose, and both of them had, one of them had bacterial pneumonia, one had bacterial bronchitis, but anyway, and I can tell that because I know how to listen to people's lungs. And, it's a long preamble, but, I've been treating viral pneumonia, which is what coronavirus is, a viral pneumonia. So I've been treating that for, 42 years in this August.
Right.
And it's not a hard thing, really, for us to diagnose generically.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is the most common one, which I see all the time every January, February, March, is influenza. Things are a little different with influenza because we do have a vaccine, which most of the time works. Probably, 3 out of 4 years, this year it worked. I didn't see any influenza patients who'd had a flu shot.
Okay.
But 2 years ago, it didn't work very good.
That's interesting that you can see how well a flu shot works by what you see show up in your office. And you ask everybody.
Oh.
If they have the flu, did you get a flu shot? And you're hearing yes or no. So you find out if it worked or not.
Oh, yeah. Every year I do my little informal survey. And sometimes, a couple of years ago, I probably saw 100 cases in that three months. It's always January to March, through March. So pretty much that's the way it works. And, and some people get secondary bacterial pneumonia or other bacteria don't, start the party very often, but they like to join the party.
Right.
So influenza makes people pretty sick, and this corona business is a little, with most medical things, it's always a little more complicated than you want it to be. But coronaviruses have been around for a long, long time. In fact, in school they usually spend one day on a disease. They spend about 4 or 5 days in med school teaching us about coronaviruses because it's got a long, long history. And often, some of these, the genetic researchers are saying it probably goes back as far as 50 million years.
Wow.
They think that the coronaviruses are RNA viruses. Viruses are either generically kind of into two big camps. They're either DNA viruses or RNA viruses. So coronaviruses are RNA virus. And, it's started in bats, which is kind of weird, but, this group of viruses infects mammals or birds. So when you look at the relatively recent history of epidemics, worldwide epidemics, the viruses are species specific. So humans have a number of coronaviruses that sort of like humans, and our coronaviruses don't jump to pigs, and bat viruses aren't supposed to jump to humans. Chicken viruses, same thing. So if we could give pigs our coronaviruses, they'd get pretty sick. When they have their coronaviruses, they give each other their version of the common cold. Although actually in pigs, coronaviruses either give a respiratory infection or they give GI problem like, diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
And in humans and in birds, it's respiratory. But at any rate, that's not really that relevant. What happened in this case is the viruses in bats mutated so that humans can get it. And since we don't have any natural immunity for BAP coronaviruses, just like during the H1N1, quote, swine flu, end quote, we didn't have any natural immunity for the pig coronaviruses.
Right.
So,
those
things, when that mutation occurs, those viruses make us pretty sick because we've never, our bodies have never seen it before.
And that once you've had it, then you'll have immunity to this coronavirus.
Oh, yeah. Our immune system is an elephant. It never forgets.
Once
you get it, your body, our immune systems are a way better doctor than me. So they are really good at logging that into the genetic memory and not letting the same germ get us again. There are relatively rare exceptions, especially in the viral world, but in general, once you get chickenpox, you don't get it again. You're immune to it the rest of your life. It's, measles, mm-hmm. lifetime immunity.
Okay.
And,
so what are you seeing with people coming in when they're coming in panicking a little bit, right?
Oh, 100%.
Okay, tell us about that you're seeing.
For the last 2 weeks.
Say that again. I interrupted you. You're saying anxiety.
I've been treating anxiety for the last 2 weeks. And then, this time of year, I usually see a pneumonia once a week. I see pretty sick people because I got a lot of patients. So, I know what to do about that. But the news now and the internet and Dr. Google, it's just making people kind of go a little bit insane. And then they get a sniffle and they think, this is it. I got to,
I'm dying.
Make my last will and testament.
So that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this show today, is so much of what's happening with coronavirus fear is the fear of the what ifs. So normally when you get a sniffle, you go, hey, maybe I'm getting a cold. Or it goes away by morning, or it's not a big deal. But people are having an allergy attack and thinking they're dying, or they've got a little bit of a cold and they're freaking out.
This week, because the oak pollen just came out. So, but the additional fear, the additional what if in this current context is, what if I make my mom sick, or what if I make my grandpa sick? There's that social distancing thing, but there's a certain personal, most people have a certain personal responsibility about, if I get it, I sure don't want to give anyone else the germ.
Right. Right, but
so
I know if I were thinking about my mom died a couple of years ago and she was 90, if I would have still had to go over and take care of her. And I would have been worried about giving it to her, but I would have been worried about abandoning her and not taking care of her, too.
Well, and I'm from Minnesota. My family's still all back there, and my mom and dad are 90. My mom will be 91 in April, and my dad is 92 last month. So they're in an assisted living place, and wisely, the assisted living place has stopped having all visitors. So on the one hand, my siblings are kind of, wanting to still go see my mom and dad because, my mom's on the hospice, and,
it's late-stage life, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's jerking people every which way, and, nobody wants to die alone, but unfortunately, in some of these cases with this corona business, that's going to be happening. So
that is some of the foundation of the anxiety that you're seeing. Now, when you've got somebody coming in with intense anxiety, what are you doing besides trying to talk to them and calm them down?
Well, first of all, the best thing for my job, or the thing that helps the most, is take a thorough history. So I ask them a bunch of questions, and depending on what their answers are, that kind of tells me what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you check them and make sure you listen to their lungs, which is, in this time of year, for viral, it's a little bit weird, but viral pneumonia is almost always the lungs sound normal, unless sometimes when the virus gets in that respiratory epithelium, it makes the patient wheeze, mm-hmm. and then you can hear the wheezing. But it doesn't, bacterial pneumonia sounds like, the best way to describe it is, it sounds like you're taking your hair and crinkling it in front of your ear.
Oh.
That's what pneumonia sounds like. That's bacterial.
Interesting.
And you can hang your hat on that. Some of the patients who, like some of the, every year, some of the, influenza patients will get a secondary bacterial pneumonia, and even though they have a virus I can't fix, boy oh boy, I can stop the bacteria from killing them.
Wow.
If that makes sense.
It does.
Again, Well, bacteria join the party. They don't very often start the party except in the skin.
They want
to
join
us. To join the party.
Okay, so we've got 1 minute left. Sum up some advice you would give people about why they don't need to get so anxious. Give them something to hang their hat on so they maybe
can stop
what
if. Okay, the thing to hang your hat on is this. It doesn't really happen, in spite of what they're saying in the news, it doesn't happen very often that someone sneezes 10 feet away from you in the subway and gives you this deadly disease. How we get these diseases, how we get viral infections, is by applying the virus to our face, by applying it to your mucous membrane. If it gets on your dry skin, it won't infect you. But when your hands are the dirtiest part of your body, and where you're touching things in public, and then 5 minutes later rub your eye or put your pen in your mouth or stick your finger by your nose, next thing you know, zingo, you got it. So don't touch your face. If I could send anything to your listeners that would kind of, you know, bring that whole thing home, do not touch your face.
Okay, I've been working on that because I tend to be a fidgety person.
You have a cone of shame like the dog who's had a surgery.
That's what I need.
And you have the cone of shame on, and then you won't get sick, honest to God.
Okay, so I'm hearing you that there's a lot more angst out there that needs to be happening. Everybody can calm down a little bit and just try to be as proactive as they can. And if they get it, chances are they're going to get a mild case. And at this point in Northern California, we have resources still.
Yeah, all the other things count, too. You know, take care of yourself. Your immune system works better when you're well-rested, when you're well-hydrated, when you have good nutrition, you know, all the basic stuff. But the reason why the social isolation is not because of someone coughing or sneezing. The reason of social isolation is everybody touches their face. And that's how you get sick. So, it's really hard to do. But once I learned that from a pediatrician 42 years ago, and once I stopped touching her face, I stopped getting sick.
Okay, I'm going to work on that really hard because I'm not good at that.
Yeah.
But that's a great piece of advice. And I'm hearing you that there's more anxiety out there than needs to be. And I hear you being more worried about people getting flu than getting corona. So.
Well, it'll probably kill more people than this corona thing. Even though the corona is a highly adaptable and mutatable virus, so if it, like, I'm just wondering about northern Italy, if maybe it's changed its flavor a little to become more pathogenic or give a higher mortality rate. But I think once we find out, which we don't know yet, once we find out how many people really have it and don't know they have it and don't qualify for testing, once we find that out, it's probably going to be similar to influenza. Influenza kills 1 out of 1,000.
Okay.
All right.
Some of your advice is there's a lot more to find out and a lot more to know, and for people to stop assuming they have the answers and they don't need to catastrophize.
No. And, you know, just this is the time to actually trust your doctor. Most of the time they went to school and got an A. And trust your nurses and stop touching your face.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling in because you are definitely the voice of wisdom. Well, not really.
I'm just old.
You're the old voice of wisdom, and you're a survivor. Well, I deeply appreciate you taking the time to call in and help listeners understand what they need to do.
Yeah,
you're a doll.
Be prudent.
You're a doll, and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Dr. Richard Belanke.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay
we're going to go to break. We'll be back in a minute.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and we are talking about coronavirus fears, how people are nervous and anxious. And I really want people to take a look at the spectrum of their fear. Stick your left hand all the way out to the side and say at that end of the spectrum, you're saying there's no problem. This is all hyped up. It's a hoax. I don't believe it. And the theme I hear a lot of people say is, I'm not afraid. Okay. Then stick your right hand out, way to the other side and say that you are panicking and you're afraid of dying and you're afraid of loved ones dying and you're afraid of medical issues and you get the least little sniffle and your chicken little and the sky is falling. So where do you fall in that spectrum? Are you somewhere in between? Are you being super fearful and anxious? Are you being in denial and very avoidant? So what we're hoping is that we can kind of all calm down and we can recognize that this is a challenging time and we want to not overreact and we want to do the right things. We want to stay hydrated. We want to get sleep. As Dr. Malachi said, try not to touch your face. It's so funny because both my producer and I said, as soon as he said that, we both wanted to touch our face. But right now I want to talk about what happens with small business people and people whose incomes are reliant on their customers showing up, their students showing up. I've got Master Kung Fu, Master James Matthews, who has a Kung Fu studio in Northern California, and he and I have been talking about his concerns about his small business. Are you there, Jim?
I'm here.
Oh, hi.
Nice to hear you. Boy, Dr. Patty.
Yes, well, thank you.
That last one with Dr. Malachi was pretty amazing, too, because he's Dr.
I know.
I don't get the doctor.
Yeah, you're just Master James. So that's funny. Call you Master. Hey, Master, come on. Okay, so I want you to speak as a small business owner. What are your concerns, and how is, if all of a sudden all your students stop coming and taking their classes, what happens to your business?
Oh, it'll ultimately collapse. I mean, that's the bottom line, right?
Right.
I mean, we depend on providing services and nurturing our community. And we've been working really hard on providing home training and some videos, live videos, try to help in every way we can. And maybe my goal is to provide more than people expected.
Okay, so that you're trying to give a service so that maybe you can keep your income stream coming in and give people some things they need to deal with their fear and their hesitancy and their challenges in this difficult time. Is that summing that up pretty well?
Yes, it is. And you know, the personal security or the personal protection is really important, too, to keep people calm and let them know that they have choices and options and stuff like that. But I know that's not your point. Your point is to talk about how it's going to affect local business.
Right, but you're also mentioning something that I think is really important. When you have a small business and you have an income stream, if you have other skills and other things that you do, like, for example, before you opened your Kung Fu studio, you were a bodyguard for high-value targets, and you could fall back on doing some bodyguard work for people that need that protection. So you want to try and mobilize other skills that you have to bring in some income to help support your small business.
Oh, yeah, okay, absolutely. Good. I mean, I'm out of retirement. I'm back.
Yeah, so if anybody needs a bodyguard, you're a high-value target, or if you just think you're a high-value target, then that's okay, too. You can
I think we're going to do consulting. Is, you know, you need to help people in their own areas of their, you know, their life.
Right.
You know,
help them be strong by themselves.
Danger and threat and really kind of minimize all that, honey.
Sure.
Because they're scared, and I don't want them to be scared. They need to be aware.
Right. So, but the issue, like, did you hear me talking in the first segment of the show? The person who gives singing lessons to my granddaughter and me, we're going to keep supporting his business by saying, I'm on board with doing our lessons by Facebook, by Messenger, FaceTime. And is that ideal? No. But does that support him and his business and help him keep going? Yes. And it has to do with me being willing to be patient and say, let's do the best we can. And it'd be easy for me to say, oh, we'll just be back in a month. But what does that do to him and his business?
Cripple him.
It cripples him. So those of us that can afford to keep going or keep paying, like, for example, your students in your Kung Fu studio, if they are willing to keep paying their monthly tuition fee but change to looking at what you offer online, that helps
method,
keep your income stream, helps give them some bang for their buck, but and they're patient with maybe it's not as good as it would have been in person, but it's better than nothing for them, and it's definitely going to help keep your business afloat. Now, does that make sense? Do you like that logic?
I have been so blessed that some of my clients have been that clear, and they have said that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make sure I thank them for that, because that's the point. You know, they are doing a wonderful thing by keeping things going, understanding the circumstances, and I'm going out of my way to send them skills, you know?
Yes.
Because I'm so grateful for them.
So here's the point you and I are making. If business owners can make sure they're offering the best they can in this limited, weird market, and if clients and customers and people in the community will follow through and say, all right, I'm going to go ahead and pay my tuition or go to the music lesson, or let my guitar teacher teach me online, or even a lot of therapist friends of mine, they're doing phone sessions right now, and they're doing them as focused and as best as they can. And if their clients are saying, okay, we can do this, because there's some therapists that are small business owners and are working week to week. So I think if we all work together, as a small business owner, we try to put out a product that can be valuable to people, and as a customer or client base, we are willing to sacrifice a little bit of that, what we would get if we were in person, to help everybody survive this.
I have a question for you, as I always do.
Mm-hmm.
What about the social integration and keeping continuity in life while they were going through these challenges? I mean, I don't know, but I would think that's pretty valuable as far as keeping people healthy and, you know, some continuity. Oh, I've got this blocked out from my therapist. Oh, I've got this blocked out from my Kung Fu lessons. Is that psychologically and emotionally a reality, or is it just a figment of my imagination?
No, I think you're actually speaking to something that's very good for people. If you normally went to your Kung Fu lessons twice a week, block that out. And that's when they would get online and access the video that you've uploaded for people when they're ready. They can watch it live or they can watch it recorded. And they can go through their katas or they can go through their basic skills. And they can utilize the time in a productive way. But block out that time that they would normally go, because that consistency helps keep us sane.
Yeah.
You know, we need to not give up everything. Like, if you can't go visit your elderly mother, you're going to call her and spend time on the phone with her. You're going to substitute something that might not be quite as good, like going to your Kung Fu lessons in person, for something that's acceptable, like watching the videos that you have painstakingly uploaded to keep people going.
Because
it takes effort.
Because I'm a seatbelt technology.
It takes effort. And some of these people are going, do what? Online how? So it's difficult for everybody. But if we all pull together, maybe we can help some of these small businesses survive. There's a restaurant here in town. Ed Rollman is the owner of it, C.R. Gibbs. And they've had to close their restaurant, send, you know, hundreds of employees home. And so what I put on my Facebook is, look, when C.R. Gibbs opens up again and the virus is kind of, you know, we're all okay, we all need to patronize these restaurants. We need to, try to keep people like you going during this time, and then people that have had to close down all the way, let's go give them more business than we normally would to get them back on their feet. Because this is how we all pull together as a community and support each other. So, Jim, there's 1 minute left. Is there one thing you would like to say that's going to encourage small business owners, encourage students, and whatever? Give me your closing comment.
I would say make sure you stay active, and because I'm so worried. I think Dr. Malachi just really was so clear on trying to make people feel safe and diagnose things or tell them not to over-diagnose. Mm-hmm. But I really feel like keeping their minds sharp and keeping their bodies sharp. A warrior, does, you know, a competitor. Kobe Bryant's not. I'm sorry, not Kobe Bryant. Rest in peace. You know, all the professional athletes are not sitting on a couch going, "I got free time." They're training harder. They know that when they come back on the court, they're going to be, you know, 110%. They're sharp. They're sharp. And you know, a boxer doesn't not train before combat or a fight. So I think that we need to really, really stay sharp and stay healthy physically, mentally, and emotionally and spiritually.
So I think that's really good advice. Use this downtime to train harder. Read the books that you haven't had time to read for spiritual and emotional growth. Work out. Go for walks. Do the things you need to do that when life gets started back up again, you're still ready to hit the ground running.
Absolutely. And be the best version of yourself, right?
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Well, I would encourage anybody that's listening to do what you can to support the small business owners to keep their income stream coming in. And know small business owners need to know that there's hopefully going to be low interest loans they can apply for and things like that that will help get them back on their feet. But I just want the general public to know that when you say, "Oh, we'll just see you again in a month," that could be what makes a small business owner go under. It's true. Well, thank you, Master James Matthews of PhD Martial Arts.
Yes.
And I'm just really grateful that you called in. We need input from people like you.
Well, of course. Anything to support our community.
Well, thank you. You're a good man. All right. I will talk to you soon. You take care, and good luck with staying afloat during this crisis.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to go to break. We'll be back in a minute.
Make this year totally awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Make this year totally awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. I love the sound of didgeridoo. That was me playing didgeridoo on track number 8 of The Journey for Randy McGinnis' CD, Native American Flute. And I did didge on that track. I love that song. Okay, welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and we're talking about coronavirus fears. So look at the spectrum of where you fall on this fear chart. Are you in total denial, saying there's nothing to be vigilant about? Are you Chicken Little saying the sky is falling and you're going to die? You want to try and get somewhere in the middle where you are not panicking, you're not creating tons of anxiety for yourself, you're being very pragmatic, you're going to try and stay away from people right now, you're going to get some sleep, stay well hydrated. As Dr. Malatsi says, don't touch your face, which now makes me want to touch my face. I've tried really hard not to. And we also want to do our best to support small businesses that are trying to stay afloat. If a restaurant is staying open and you can order takeout and bring it home, and you haven't lost your job and you can afford to do that, let's do that. If you can afford to keep paying for your music lessons or your kung fu lessons or keep seeing your therapist, do what you can do to help everything run as normal as possible, and be willing to give a little bit of leeway to do it online or to talk to your therapist on the phone or to do what you need to do your part to accommodate. That's all of us pulling together to make this work well. And I want to read something to you. A dear friend of mine who I respect and admire a lot put this on his Facebook, and I thought, you know, it's something that we all need to think of. And what he said is, as we work through this current virus crisis, one of the most glaring themes is that people are tending to look to their government for solutions to all of their woes. He suggests that we be wary of the rights that we're willing to forfeit, that we have to remember that rights that we forfeit often do not get returned to us. They stay gone. So there's nothing like a crisis to get the masses to submit to directions that we normally wouldn't easily submit to. So be vigilant, and if need be, suck it up a little. You know, say, I'm going to be patient, and I'm going to wait, and I'm not going to give up all my rights, and I'm not going to let fear make my choices. Fear is the media's game, and we're not hearing reports on the number of flu deaths yesterday, although they far exceed the number of corona deaths yesterday in the United States. So let's stay in that center space where we're not super fearful and we're not overblowing all of this and we're not giving up very important rights that we need to have, and we're not letting things be changed on us in a real sneaky kind of way. Let's stay aware. Let's stay centered in our belief systems and not being fearful. So that's the whole idea of what I wanted to do with this show. I wanted everybody to really stop and take a look at, how do I feel and what am I afraid of, and how can I tamp down that anxiety and not let it grow? So one of the things I teach in my podcast about anxiety, and you can go to my podcast and listen to the anxiety and anticipatory anxiety podcast, which will help give you some coping skills. But when you are afraid, when you're worried that your elderly parent might die or that your kids or your grandkids might get sick, what you do is you stop and send them angels. And put that into any kind of spiritual framework you want to, whether you're religious or not, whatever religion you are. Stop and say, okay, there's nothing I can do. I don't need to get anxious and fearful. What I'm going to do is just picture a small herd of angels heading towards the person that I love and keeping them safe. And even if that's just something you say, but you don't have a spiritual foundation for it, it's okay. You are actively saying to your brain, there's nothing I can do right now except for wish that person safety and the best. And I have this little ritual I'm going to do. I'm going to send them angels. And if you can back that up with prayers and foundation from your spiritual belief, awesome. Otherwise, if it's just a message to your subconscious, don't panic, everything's going to be okay, then you'll calm down. We want to remember that fear and anxiety can undermine our health. So when we allow our thoughts to loop and get out of control and create a whole lot of angst and upset in us, that's not good for our immune system, it's not good for our psyche, and it's not good for those around us. So take a look at where do you stand. Are you way into the denial that nothing's wrong? Are you way into the end where you're saying the sky is falling and we're all going to die? We don't want to do either one of those because neither one leaves us being safe. So stop and look at what are you afraid of health-wise? What are you worried about financially? And see what you can do to mitigate those as best you can. Let go of the things that you can't do. And just know that this is going to pass. It always passes. Every time we've had any kind of big nasty thing happen, it passes. And we will come out the other side being okay. So in today's show, I want you to recognize how you feel. And then remember that one of the best ways to make you feel better is to help someone else. So reach out and support someone on your social media, or reach out and support someone by telephone. Call and talk to your elderly relatives. Give them some attention and time. And be positive. Try not to make them more afraid, because we don't want to fear monger. We want to calm people down and reassure. So call and tell them jokes, or read them a story over the phone, or do something that brightens their day a little bit. On social media, I think we all, as best we can, need to try to be positive and not be fearful. We need to share funny little things that will uplift people as best we can. And maybe try not to get into all the negative politics that are flying around right now. I think that's hard on all of us. So I hope you're tuning into this and taking a deep breath and saying, what can I do to be a little more calm, to take care of myself and my family a little better, and just kind of let it go a little bit. So we're going to end the show. We're going to play some of Randy McGinnis's beautiful Native American flute music. I want you to tune in and just really let yourself feel calmer and quiet, and take this time of things slowing down in the world to really reflect on yourself and reflect on those you love, because that's what's really important, staying connected to those that we love. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. You've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell, and I just want to help heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.